Open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy again, chapter 3, continuing on in our exposition of the book of 2 Timothy, Paul's letter to his spiritual son in the faith. It's his last letter. He's going to die in a few months. He knows that. He's in prison. Roman tradition says that he was beheaded. He lost his head. Some people even said that he and Peter were killed at the same time. But Peter, we know, was crucified upside down. That's also tradition. But Timothy is at a church in Ephesus, a church which is struggling. It's going through some rough spots. And Paul is encouraging his son in the faith to continue strong. He's passing on the baton because he's leaving. He's passing on the baton, and he's passing on, actually not a ministry, he's passing on the gospel. And he says to Timothy, make sure you keep the gospel straight. Do that. Many of you know we were missionaries in Brazil for 23 years. And in Brazil, like in São Paulo, the big city, it's about 20 million people. Like a lot of big cities here in the States, there's a part of the city where you can buy knockoffs. You know what a knockoff is? It's like an imitation. It's not the real thing. You can go to the city, the street, and you get nice, these really nice designer purses. They would cost you $500, $600, $700, $800, $1,000, and you can get it for $25. You know? Looks like the real thing. Looks, man. And you wear it, you know, and everybody's, wow, impressed until the straps start, you know, scenes come undone, and you're at church, and whoa, everything falls out of the bottom because it's not well made. You can buy the nicest shoes. Adidas or Reeboks, I don't know if those are nicer shoes, but Nike's tennis shoes. In Brazil, they would cost you $300-$400. You can buy them for $25. You can buy all the nicest stuff. You can buy perfume that would cost you $1,000. You know, and it cost you $10. It smells terrible. But the bottle's there and everything, man. Looks just like the real thing. And you think you're getting a bargain. Have any of you ever been to the big city and seen those places? Anybody ever here buy a knockoff? Imitation thing? Yeah. Rolex watches, you know, for $10. Woo-wee, you know, and then first time you sweat, you know, it falls apart, you know. But anyways, it looks like the real thing, but it's not. When pressure comes, it sort of falls apart. And that's what Timothy is talking about in this chapter here, 2 Timothy. We talked about last week the dangers to the church. Remember Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he encourages Timothy to make disciples or to teach faithful men who would teach other faithful men. And he says that this task of making disciples is going to be difficult. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be trials, Timothy. If you look up 2 Timothy chapter 2, that's what you see, the progression. Timothy is going to be a little bit discouraged, so he reminds Timothy to what? Remember. Remember four things. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember the power of the Word of God. Remember the promises of the God are secure and the faithfulness of God is sure. And then he warns them, he warns Timothy to warn his church that there's some dangers. And the dangers aren't outside. They're not outside there. They're inside the church. They're in Ephesus. And the two dangers are godless teaching, and we call that heresy, and godless living. And we call that hypocrisy. Within the church of God, there are going to be people who will teach false doctrines. They will not be faithful to the gospel. They'll try to repackage it. They'll try to make it less offensive. They'll appeal to the listeners. In fact, in chapter 4, of 2 Timothy, we're not there yet. He says that people will want to get their ears, what? Tickled. They want their ears tickled. And these men in this church were doing exactly that. They were saying what the people wanted to hear. They maybe viewed the church as a business. And you, the congregation at Ephesus, you're my customer. And so I want to sell you a product, and I'm going to repackage it in a way that you like it, and you like me, the salesman. Did you like to be light salesman? You want to be saved. So you say what you need to get to see at the sale. And so Timothy is saying to this church, I mean, Paul is saying to Timothy, who was pastor over this church, this very, very, very careful, Timothy, of these two dangers. Inside the church, not outside the church, inside the church. Okay? So, let's get to chapter 3. Verse 1. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. Look how the passage ended in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul gives Timothy a little bit of hope about these people who like to quarrel over these non-essential issues, about things that weren't critical to the gospel. And he says, verse 25, says, those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth. And so he's saying to Timothy, you know what? If you're gentle with these men, some of them God will grant repentance. But he starts in chapter 3, he says, but mark this, Timothy, in contrast to the hope that he left them at the end of chapter 2, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last day. Some of these men aren't going to repent, Timothy. They're going to continue on their path, they're going to continue in their way, trying to draw away from the church true believers. Mark this, take heed, Timothy, it's not going to be easy. In the last days. What's the last days? Usually we think the last days, what do we think? We think something in the future, right? The last days. But Paul isn't talking about something in the future. He's not talking about 21st century where we are today. He was talking about way back when. The last days are all those days after the first coming of Jesus Christ. So we are in the last days. 1,000 years ago they were in the last days. The last days happen, are we are in the last days, and they will continue all the way until the second return, bodily return of Jesus Christ. Not the rapture. The rapture is another return before the second return of Jesus Christ. So we are in the last days. And he says, things will get terrible. Now you think, okay, things are going to get terrible. And we think automatically of Jesus' prophecies in Matthew 24, at least I did, maybe you don't. Matthew 24, where Jesus says, you know, there'll be rumors of wars and there'll be famines and earthquakes. He's not talking about that here. Okay, he's not talking about what's going to happen in the world, Paul, is it? He's warning Timothy, this is what's going to happen in the church. The terrible times that you're going to see, Timothy, in the last days are things that are going to happen in the church. And he doesn't describe it as things that happen. It's people who exist. So there'll be people in the church, in your body, in the church universal, that are going to be these types of people. Okay? And look how he describes these kind of people who are in the church, who are a danger to us at Grace. Okay? We are in the last days, and these types of people exist in the church. I don't know if they exist in this church, but they exist in the church universal. Okay? So look what he says. How did he see? 18 characteristics. People who will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents. I like the way you said that, Todd, when you read that. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutals, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, and then lovers of God. Wow. That sounds like it describes the world, doesn't it? Doesn't that just sound like what it's out there, like we saw here, that little skit here? Doesn't that sound like it's out there? But Paul is telling Timothy, it's also in here. Be careful, Timothy. There are people in your church, Timothy, that look like the real thing. They look like the real thing, but they're not. Their lies give them away. I was taught that what you believe affects how you live. What you believe affects how you live. We know that to be true. I mean, we always use this example, but Hinduism, for example, they believe that there are millions and millions of gods. Right? Cow god, rat god. And how does that affect them? They don't eat cows. They don't kill rats. Why? Because it might be an ancestor. it affects how they believe. Islam. If you believe that 40 virgins are waiting for you up in heaven, if you give your life for Allah by strapping some bombs, what are you going to do? I'm going to strap some bombs around me. I'm going to go blow myself up because I believe it. And these false teachers believe certain things. They believed certain things about the gospel. They believed the gospel was primarily about them. God existed to serve them. And he gives the evidences there. What? They're lovers of whom? They're lovers of themselves. They have a misdirected love. It's all about me, God. What can you do for me? Okay, God, pour it on. What can you do for me? The misdirected love completely. What's the first and greatest commandment? Love God above all else. Who are they loving? Me. What's the second greatest commandment? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And actually, what these people have done, they've made the two greatest commandments into three greatest commandments. And the third greatest commandment is what? Love yourself. And you ever heard that before? Love yourself. Love yourself. The Bible doesn't say us to love ourselves. The Bible assumes that you do love yourselves. And these people give evidence to that. We're supposed to love God, and we're supposed to love others. I have a, you know that little acronym? Is that how you say it? If you want real joy and happiness in your life, it's Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. What does that spell? Jesus, others, yourself. What does that spell? Joy. Right? If you get it all mixed up and you put yourself first and God second and others first, you got yugo. Sounds pretty ugly, doesn't it? Or if you put you and yourself, yag. You know, it's not the way God wanted. That's not the gospel. The gospel isn't about you, it's about what God did for you through his son. And these people had gotten it all messed up. We're not going to go through the list. Okay, it's self-explanatory, but I want to go through the rest of the text. These, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with it. Go to Matthew 22, please. Matthew 22. Reminds me of a conversation Jesus had with the religious people, the ones that look good on the outside, the Pharisees. Matthew 22. Jesus, verse 29. He'd been talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they came up to him with a question about the seven brothers, and one died, and who's going to be married to the one, the girl, after all of them die in heaven. And he says, verse 29, Jesus says, you are in error. He's saying to him, you're wrong. Because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. These folks, Timothy, as Paul is saying to Timothy, they're wrong. They're wrong about their message. And they're wrong about the way they live. They look good on the inside, but Jesus said what? They're beautiful cups, or beautiful tombstones, but in the inside, what? Rotten bones. They stink. And Paul is telling Timothy, once again, I'm going to remind us, be careful. These types of people exist within our churches. And what does he say about them? They worm this, verse 6. They are the kind who worm. They sort of slither. It's the idea of getting into clothes, you know, real tight clothes. You sort of slide into it. These people sort of worm their way. It's the idea that they're real subtle. They're sort of like a snake. You know? They sort of, it's smooth. It's not obvious to anybody. They're real subtle about what they are. And they worm themselves into homes and gain control over weak-willed women. Okay, now Paul isn't against women. Okay, that's not what he's saying here. He's not criticizing women. He loves women. In fact, in this book, he says, in the first chapter, he talks about the wonderful heritage that Timothy had in his grandmother and mother. In other passages in the Bible, he speaks very highly of women. But what was happening here in Ephesus, there was a special case in Ephesus where certain men were actually doing this. There were some women, weak-willed women, who had guilty consciences for either past sin or present sin. And these men spoke a false gospel. They helped these women deal with their guilt. But not in a way that pleases God. Not by repentance and faith. By telling them a message, something they wanted to hear, right? Something they wanted to hear, and says, oh, you just need to love yourself more. You just need to accept yourself more. Or do this certain things. And usually involve money. You know, well, just give me this money. I'll say a blessing. And God will forgive you. There's no repentance and faith. That's a false gospel. And they worm their way into these homes. Because these women aren't informed. They're looking for the truth. They want to deal with their guilt. But they don't know how to deal with it in a biblical way. And next week we'll learn a little bit more about how to deal with our lives in a biblical way. But that's what's happening here. Okay? And he says, be careful about these men. In fact, he says, in chapter 2, he says, don't quarrel with these men. Here he says, avoid them altogether. You know, those who don't repent, you avoid. It's talking sort of like an excommunication. You kick them out. He doesn't say how patient you are with them here. How long do you put up with them? But in Titus, he does say it. If you look in Titus, it says, warn a divisive man once. And then he says, warn him a second time. And then what do? You kick him out of your church. These type of men are gangrene. Not men. I'm talking men and women. Are gangrene to the church. And then he goes on and says, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved mind as far as the faith is concerned, and are rejected. Who are Jannes and Jambres? Well, you look in your Old Testament concordance, and you're not going to find their names. You can look all day long. You can look in the Greek, you can look in the Hebrew, you can look in the Aramaic, you're not going to find their names. And so this is, most people believe, this is tradition. Paul obviously cites it so it's accurate tradition, because it's in the Word of God. But these are the two men, probably magicians, in Pharaoh's court. Remember Moses? Moses' rod turned into a snake. What did these magicians do, these Jannes and Jambres? They threw down their rods, and what happened? They were able to imitate the power of God. But what happened with their rods? Moses' snake what? Swallowed. Okay? And then Moses, the first plague was what? The Nile into blood. And somehow, you know this, right, Rosie? Nile in the blood. Somehow, these two men, these magicians, were able to imitate them as well. Why would you do that in the first place? But they did. They were able to imitate it. That was the first plague. The second plague, I think it was the... Anybody remember? What was it? The gnats, I think? No, it was the... Huh? Was it the frogs? Yeah. Frogs. And they were imitate that as well. So the first, the snakes, the Nile, and the frog, they were able to imitate the power of God. They were fakers. It was their magic. It wasn't real power. It was an illusion. They gave the evidence that they were like from God, but they weren't. And then the third plague was the gnats. And you know what? The Bible says they were not able to imitate the gnats. And then from the third plague on, you don't hear about the magicians anymore. Isn't that what Paul says here in verse 9? It says, but they will not get very far. As in the case of those men, their folly will be known to everybody. And so, Paul is giving Timothy what? Hope. Sure, Paul, Timothy, there's going to be rough times. You've got to be careful with what you teach. You've got to be careful with what people teach. You've got to be careful with the way you live. You want to be careful with the people in your church, the way they live. You do not want your church to be loaded with these types of people. But, Timothy, there's hope. For God will expose them. You will be exposed. Somehow, God in His grace and His sovereignty, if the church wants to remain pure, not perfect, we talked about that last week, but we're not a perfect church. If we were a perfect church, Jesus wouldn't have had to shed His blood. But we want to be a pure church. We want to be a progressing church. We want to be a disciple-making church. Remember the message of Timothy? Be strong. Make disciples. No excuses. And by the grace of God, if we're a grace church, is going to be a disciple-making church, we've got to be wary. We've got to be wary of these types of people. And we also got to be wary of our own lives. If we're faking it, if we're coming to the church just because it's the thing to do, that is not beneficial for the church of God. That will not be a church that makes disciples. It will be just a church for show and tell. Here, I dress up all pretty. I say the right things. I put my arm around my wife here at church. But like we saw this morning, it's not real. Let me see if I can illustrate this chapter 2 and 3, in a way that will visually maybe stimulate you. Does anybody have a stopwatch? Stopwatch, anybody? Huh? Yeah, you have one? Okay. Is it that? Okay, I'm going to give you a minute, okay? You're going to give me a minute, okay? You're going to tell me when to go, and you're going to tell me when to stop after a minute. Okay, no grace. Okay, 60 seconds. Paul says to Timothy, make disciples. Train your church, but make sure you train them with the gospel message. Don't deviate. Don't mess around with it. Don't try to improve it. And you're supposed to train faithful men who train others. Don't get deviated from this gospel message, either by your message or by your life, Timothy. So I'm going to try to show you this, okay? What I'm going to do, I'm going to leave my little platform here, or this area here, and I'm going to go out in the audience, and I'm going to get one of you, okay? And I'm going to pull you up here. You're going to walk up with me here. We're not in a rush. We're not going to race. And I'm going to put you up here, and when you come up here, you stay here. Okay? You understand? So if I grab your hand, you stay here. Okay? And this is going to illustrate that I am making a disciple. Okay? I'm using the Word of God, correct form. I am exemplifying the Word of God in my life. I'm not being a hypocrite. I'm not being fake about it. I'm involving myself in the process. Of course, we only have a minute, and this thing takes time. You understand this? But we're just sort of illustrating it. Okay? Understand? Anybody have a question? Okay. Tell me when to go. You say go. Go. Stay right here. Stay right here. Okay. I'm going to get you, Matt. Right here. And you stay right there, big guy. Hey, Russ. How you going, guy? Can I help you up here? How many seconds do I have? Oh, 30. Okay, I'm tired. Come on. Oh, you stepped on my foot. I know some of you are already criticizing me, right? Some of you say, you should have gone over there first, here, Paul. Anybody thinking that? I'm saying some of you are thinking, oh, he needs to walk faster. 10 seconds? Okay, Bart. Yeah, that's it. What's your service? I got Barb. I noticed that. Time. Okay. A lot of energy here going on, right? Yes or no? No, there isn't. You guys are saying, what are you doing? You're just sitting, you're watching, right? And you are probably thinking, get a girl, get a woman. Where are the women? Let's represent the women. Not him. Get another guy. Get me! Right? Did anybody think of that, or you're so bored you're saying you're not even thinking? Okay, how many people did I get in a minute? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Did I count right? Seven, okay. Pretty good job, right? I'm making disciples. I've got seven people. Over a period of time where I'm preaching the word in the correct way, I'm bringing them to Jesus. I'm not bringing them to me. I'm bringing them to Jesus. I have a wife. I do have a wife. She's a lovely wife. But that's not what I was going to say. I have a life that is worthy of being imitated. Am I perfect? Joshua, am I perfect? Okay, that's my son. You're supposed to say, yes, Dad, you are. No, I'm not perfect. But when I fail, what do? Do I hide it? No. Well, I confess it. And thank God, Jesus, for Jesus, who forgives my sin and cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Okay, seven. Thank you. Sit down, please. Okay? No clapping. No clapping. I don't know if you were going to clap. Okay, that's Timothy making disciples, right? Good. Do we want to be that type of church? Yes or no? Yes. Okay. Now, is there something missing here? Yes or no? To this illustration? Yes. There's a lot missing. Who did all the work? Pastor! Wow. I'm tired. I think I'm going to find a new church. I got seven people. That was a joke. I'm not saying that, okay? Wouldn't there be a better way of doing the same thing, making disciples? In fact, Timothy says what? Paul says to Timothy, make disciples who are going to what? Make disciples. So you give me a minute. Okay. I'm going to pull you up here. No running. Same pace. Minute. Same amount of time. We're in the last days. Same amount of time. I'm going to pull you up here and you're going to come up here. You're going to come all the way up here. You're not going to come halfway up. You're going to come all the way up. And then what are you going to do? You're going to go get somebody else. Okay? Let's see what we can do in a minute. Disciples? Making what? Disciples. Who what? Make disciples. Because let's say, Ben, I get you. You go out and get somebody and you bring them up. And then what do? You stand here? No, you go up and get another one. And the person you brought up goes out and gets somebody else. You understand? Multiplication. Ready? So in a minute, let's see if we can get everybody, okay? Let's see if we can become that kind of a church. Ready? Go. There you go, Ben. Hey, Barb. Let's go, Barb. No running, Manny. Here. Come on. Okay, go out and get somebody. You can get your wife. Can you go up? Can you walk up with us? How much time? 10 seconds. Okay, go out and get somebody. Go get somebody. Done. Okay, if you were touched, come up here. If you were touched, come up here. Wow. All right. Last minute. Woo! Saved by the bell. All right. I'm sorry, guys. Next time, don't sit at the back of the church. That is the moral of the lesson. Let's figure out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. A lot. A lot of people. Isn't it more exciting when everybody's involved, or would you rather just watch the pastor do everything? Well, lots of fun, right? You're too busy to criticize, aren't you? You're not worried about what pastor's doing. You're busy what? Doing what you're supposed to do. You can sit down. Okay, that's right. And that, thank you very much. Yeah. Folks, that's what Paul is talking about. But what would have happened? Here we are. We're bringing people to Jesus Christ. And what if we get like three people in? And I don't know who it was. But what if that person, the third person in, says, you know what, I'm not going to take them to Jesus Christ. I'm more concerned about me and building my little kingdom, ruling my own little world, getting my own little following. And what if that person in this church, or he didn't give a lifestyle worth modeling, he says, yeah, you know, I save this, but you really don't have to do it. You know, you can live whatever way you want. And so that person, what if he would have, instead of coming here, he would have taken this one little group over here. He would have made a disciple, wouldn't he? But he would have been over here in his own little world doing his own little thing. Part of the same church, but doing his own little thing because he messed around with the gospel and with his life. Well, that person would have gone and gotten somebody else, right? And he would have come over here and we'd have a little group over here. And we would have had the committed Christians over here. And then another little group said, you know what? I don't like this guy. I don't like that guy over there. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to start my own little thing. My own little class. Teaching my own little things about the gospel. Modifying it. Living the way I want to live. And he starts over here. All in the same church building. What do we have? You have one group here. What do you have? One group over there. You got one little group over there. What do you have? Chaos. You have a divided church. You're not intent on one purpose. You're intent on your own little agenda. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Timothy, be true to the gospel. Live your life in such a way that it reflects the gospel. And be very, very careful. In these last times, Timothy, there's going to be some terrible things happening. And it's going to be men. The terrible things is that these men will pervert the gospel. And they'll live in such a way that they don't give evidence to the power of God to transform lives. They think the power is in their words. They think the power is in their personality. They think the power is in anything they can think up of. Some way of attracting a crowd. And let me just warn you, church. I don't believe this church. I know it's not. We do not teach a false gospel. The people I know and love here are sincere. But we've got to be very, very careful. Because how do these men worm their ways into our house? I believe they do it today through radio, Christian radio, through cable TV, and the internet, and books. We read all kinds of things. And there's all kinds of men and women out there who do not preach a good gospel. So be very, very careful what you listen to and what you watch on TV. Be a Berean. You know what a Berean is? A Berean is somebody, was a city in Asia Minor, or actually Thessalonica, the Greece area. They compared what was being said with Scripture, with the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the men who have come before us. Think of Pastor Grant, Charlie, men that came before them who were faithful to the gospel message. We pray that our church will continue to be faithful in these last times. Please expose falsehood. Expose those who are counterfeit, who look good on the inside but are dirty, rotten bones on the outside. Who look good on the outside but are dirty, rotten bones on the inside. Help us to be wise with what we listen to, what we read, what we watch, comparing it always to Scripture. Forgive us, Lord, for, in some sense, characterizing some of these 18 qualities that Paul lists here. Many times I am a lover of myself instead of the lover of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your forgiveness. Help us to be aware, Lord, that when we're not being true to the gospel in our life, we thank you for your forgiveness, dear Lord. Pray to God in your heart. Examine your life. Heavenly Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will use your holy word to encourage us today to remain faithful, to be disciple-making Christians. Not just play the role, but to reach out and touch others. Do this for the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.